have your Bibles tonight, we invite you to turn with us to Psalms chapter number 2. Turn with us to Psalms chapter number 2. Second division of the Psalms. I want to read verse number 12 to begin with, and we'll come back and maybe capture a lot of the verses that are in this chapter. I want us to see in this psalm, if you think about verse number 12, look what it says. It says, kiss the Son. That's a capital S. See that? That is a person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not kiss your son as a newborn baby, right? It is kiss the Son of God, God's Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You can see many psalms. Maybe there are psalms of lament, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise, psalms that set the example of the enthronement of Almighty God. This psalm is a messianic psalm. It is one that portrays the Messiah. It's not just speaking about, well, David's going to be king and he's saying kiss. No, it's not about David. Kiss the Son of God. And I think about there was a young cowboy who he was trying to show off, and an old farmer had come into town on his mule, and the young cowboy took his six shooters and he said, "Old man, you want to dance?" And the fella said, "Not particularly," but he started firing off those six shooters. And the old farmer was dancing till those six shooters were emptied of their bullets. And the old farmer reached over towards his mule and he pulled out a shotgun. And he looked at that young man and he said, "You ever kissed a mule?" He said, "No, I've not, but I've always wanted to." Amen. Amen. You could tell a lot about a person about who they're willing to kiss. Amen. What is a kiss? A kiss is a sign of affection. Think about the prodigal son's father. When that boy had been off in the hog lot of sin, when he came home, what did that father do? He ran to meet him, and the Bible said he kissed him. In fact, it's a present participle. He kissed him and 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 kissed him. It was a kiss of affection because he loved him. There's kisses of adoration. Oh, come, let us adore him. It's a sign of worship. It's a sign of reverence. You kiss someone because of allegiance. You may recognize deity or royalty. It is to submit. It is to be put in subjection. It's to surrender. It's to show your loyalty. It's to show devotion. During the war, World War II, there was a German soldier who saw an old man who was kissing the feet of a statue of a crucified Christ. And the soldier said, "Why do you not kiss the feet of Adolf Hitler, your leader?" And the old man said, "Would Hitler die for me?" Good question, amen. God commands us to kiss the Son or perish. What he's saying is, receive my Son. Embrace my Son. Reverence my Son. Worship my Son. What is the world today? What are we doing today? Could we say that our nation, could we say our society that we live in is involved in kissing the Son of God? Well, let's look at verse 1. I think number 1, we're going to see the rebellion against him. Verse 1, what forms our rebellion? Why do the heathen rage? The world today is raging against Jesus. You see people, I think some of the forms of rebellion is protest. People are plotting. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. You hear it all the time. People nowadays say happy holidays. They want to say, and what they don't realize, but holidays means holy days. Amen. They try to say Merry Xmas to try to take Christ out of Christmas. You see, the world has no affection. The world has no respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is in open rebellion to our Savior. They'd like to forget all about Jesus. They want to try to make me and you forget about Jesus. But I'm telling you, the devil's always been up to this. Before you and I even are, think about how the devil has tried to get Jesus to stop him, to hinder his ancestry, the genealogy that would lead up to him. And even when he could not stop the birth of Christ, even after the birth of Christ, he tried to get Herod to kill all the babies. In fact, there's been a plot since Adam and Eve in the garden, even with the murder that was going on during Moses' days and during Herod's days. They've been trying to stop Christ, trying to take him away. But the world will turn against the Lord, but God's never going to allow it. It's never, God will not be defeated. The world can try to take Christ out of Christmas, but I'm telling you something, God Almighty said, kiss the Son. The Son is established by God, and he will forever be established. Praise his holy name. There was a pastor one time, he was doing his first wedding, and he was going to say it is customary to kiss the bride. But he was nervous, and he got tongue twisted, and he said it is customary to cuss the bride. Seems like nowadays we want to cuss the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to take him out of Christmas. We are not kissing the Son, we are cursing the Son. The very mention of Christ, I was reading a small town in Tennessee, not a small town, pretty good sized town in Tennessee. They banned the reading of Scripture. They banned a nativity set. You see, the world is trying to take Christ out of Christmas. They want the celebration. They want the holidays. They want the recreation. They want the money that goes along to do with the Christmas days. But they want to take the name of Jesus or any reverence of the Lord Jesus Christ out. So we see, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's the word imagine. That makes me think they're meditating. They're imagining. They're thinking on it. Maybe a premeditation. What do you mean, Preacher Darren? They're trying to figure out a way to get rid of God. Look back in the previous Psalm, chapter 1, verse 2. Look what he says. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what we're supposed to meditate on? We're supposed to meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. We're supposed to meditate on the Lord. But what does the world do? They're trying to meditate or trying to imagine how to get rid of God, how to take him out of our everyday life. I think about verse number 2. Look at this. The kings of the earth set themselves, what about that? And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. They're premeditating. They are positioning themselves in opposition to God. What a foolish place to be an adversary to God. Wow. They set themselves to be against God. One of our major cities in the middle part of the United States of America, I wish I brought the picture, they're holding a sign that says, Santa yes, Christ no. You see, they're wanting Christ taken out of Christmas. And they want Santa Claus. And I'm not here to preach against Santa Claus, but I'm here to tell you, I'm preaching for Jesus. The world has no problem with Christmas. Their problem is with Christ, the Christ of Christmas. They're setting themselves against the Lord. The rulers, look what they're doing. They're planning, they're taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Think about their focus of their rebellion. It's against God. It's against the anointed Jesus Christ. He is the appointed, anointed Son of Almighty God. Amen. Hey, well, some people, they come knocking on your door and they say, well, Christ is not the only Son of God. In fact, we're not even sure he is the Son of God. Honey, let me tell you something. You know what God Almighty said? God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God said again, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hey, the Bible says, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Out of the book of John, chapter number 5. I'm pretty sure that God knows who his Son is. What is the focus of their rebellion? Look at verse 3. They're thinking, plotting, planning, premeditating. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What does that mean? They don't want authority. Have you watched the news? The world cannot stand authority. They do not want to be in submission or in subjection to someone that's in authority. God Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ, is the authority. And they've set themselves against it. And also, may I just throw this in? People nowadays, they don't want to have any accountability. It's the truth. God Almighty, through His Son Jesus, holds sinful man accountable for his actions. And when we come to Jesus and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, believing in His death, burial, and resurrection, He'll save us and forgive us. But sinful man does not want to be accountable for his actions because he does not want to be under authority. Look what he says. Let us break their bands asunder. That is rebellion at its highest point. That's what's going on in the society that we live. And God said, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee and you perish in the way. Hey, breaking, trying to rebel against God will not work. Number two, there is a revelation about Him. A revelation about Him. Verse number 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God is not worried about the rebellion of man. The world filled with all of its animosity against Christ, you know what the Bible says? God laughs at it. God just says, oh really? Oh really? You think your rejection of my Son, you think trying to remove my Son's name from Christmas, you think that's going to work? He's laughing at them. As they're mocking God, He's laughing. He's holding them in derision. He's mocking at them. You cannot overthrow the Son of God. You cannot overthrow God's King. These men on earth, these rulers, have set themselves against God. But let me tell you something. God's already predetermined who His King is. Look at verse 6. Yet have I set my King upon my holy King, upon my holy hill in Zion. God's already set up the Holy King. He's already established who His Son is. God's already chosen how it's going to be. If you set yourself against Him and you try to overthrow Him, and you listen, He's laughing at you in your calamity. He's laughing at you with derision. Preacher, I don't think that's nice. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 12. While we're here in the Psalms, Psalm 37, verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. The wicked plotteth against the just. That's what they're doing to Christ. That's what they're doing to God. That's what they're trying to do to churches that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're plotting against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Go ahead and laugh. You're going to get it. You're going to reap what you're sowing. Psalm 37, verse 12 and 13. Look at Psalm 59 while we're close. Psalm 59, verse number 8. Preacher, dear, I don't think God ought to laugh. Listen, they're laughing at God. God's laughing at them. Who's going to have the last laugh? Psalm 59, verse number 8. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Wow. What a statement. God Almighty laughs at them. Back to our text. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 2. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Not only will the Father have derision for those that will not kiss the Son, but the Father has displeasure for those that will not kiss the Son. God's wrath
will be upon all the wicked that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And his wrath,
Preacher Darren, I don't think God ought to be upset.
It's righteous anger. It's justifiable anger. And God is displeased.
Let's just go back in time real quick. I was reading about Rome. And one of their emperors, Diocletian, he killed professing Christians.
He would erect monuments. This is what they would say. Extincto nomine Christorum. You know what that means? The name of Christ is extinct. He would kill Christians and say, the name of Christ is extinct. See what he's trying to do? He's a leader trying to plot, plan, trying to get rid of Christ.
Listen now. Most people today don't even know who Diocletian is. But they know who Jesus is.
Diocletian is gone, but Jesus is still here with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. The Romans are mostly all gone, but Jesus still stands. Hear me. God will see fit and to it that you will never wipe the name of Christ away. His name, glory to God, I feel the preaching storm. His name stands and it shall stand forever.
Bless his holy name.
We read verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And let's talk about his revealed son. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son.
Is it capitalized?
Yes, the Son of God. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee.
Now we're speaking about, we're seeing Christmas then in the Psalms. You see it right there?
This day have I begotten thee. Hey, Jesus is equal with Almighty God. He and the Father, he said, I and my Father, we're one. They're equal. But here the Father says, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my Son. The deity of Christ would teach us that Father and Son are equals. And hear me, yet God sent his Son to take on human flesh, to be born upon this earth, manifested to the world. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Thank God, what a Savior. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You see, God the Father has already established it that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Why might I just take time to read Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue, hallelujah, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What a Savior. You better kiss the Son. God has revealed who the Son is. This crowd trying to rebel against the Son, God has them in derision. God laughs at them in this hour. Well, thirdly, and I'm done, there then is a refuge in Jesus Christ. There's a refuge in him. There's a refuge in the Son. He's told us, kiss the Son. Have you found it? I have found a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look with me in verse number 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, O ye kings. Be instructed, O ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Here's our refuge. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He's given us some protection here. He says in verse 10 again, to be wise. In other words, delay no longer. Run to Jesus. Make him your refuge. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. You need to be wise. You need to have wisdom. Make a good choice. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I think about peace. If you kiss the Son, you're making peace. At one time, you and I were the enemies of Almighty God. I get to thinking about how Judas Iscariot came out of the, or came to the garden as Jesus was coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did Judas do to mark Jesus? He kissed him, right? He kissed him on the cheek and said, "Hail, Master." And Jesus said, "Wherefore art thou come, friend?" That's what he said. And in that very hour, think about it. Jesus had been in the garden praying where his sweat became as great drops of blood. And when he came out of that garden, Judas kissed the blood and rejected it. Amen? Think about it with me for a second. What about Naomi? Remember, she and her husband, they went down there to Moab to sojourn a little while, and her husband died and her two boys died. Got two daughters-in-law. They got Orpah and they got Ruth. And she said, "You Moabite girls, you stay here. Marry more Moabites. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to serve God there." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." But what did the other girl do? She kissed her. And she said goodbye to her. Oh, there's such a thing as a kiss goodbye. Judas made a kiss goodbye. Orpah, she made a kiss goodbye. I mean, the scripture's very clear. Hey, this kiss is not a kiss goodbye. Amen? It's a kiss of affection. It's a kiss of adoration. Amen? When I go home, my dog, Laisha, who I don't think is saved, by the way, but Sue's out because of, I've seen she's eating our furniture, but when I walk in the door, that dog will be waiting on me at the door, and she'll lick and lick and lick and lick my hands, and she'll sniff the back of my legs to find out where I've been. Hopefully I brought her a morsel home if I've been out to eat, and then she'll go to the other hand. She wants to smell. Who have I been in contact with? Where have I been? She, not just that. She's licking, licking, licking. You know what she's doing? She's kissing the master. She's welcoming me home. It is a form of worship. That's what she's doing. And that dog is faithful to do so. Hey, when Jesus comes here to church with us, and when he gets noise, he's in the house. Do you kiss the Son? Do you worship him? Do you reverence him? Or do you cross your arms and say, "No, I'm not getting involved in that stuff. I'm not going to get emotional. I'm not going to weep. I'm not going to bow." Well, I tell you what, the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. I'm thankful. Listen, I made peace with God the night I got saved. I mean, I'd rebelled and I'd bucked and I'd kicked and I didn't want to get saved and I didn't want to humble myself, to be honest with you. I didn't really want to be around them church folks, but that night it got so bad. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And when I went to the altar and the Lord saved me there, no longer was I at enmity with God. The wall that was between us was broken down, and now he's given me peace. And when I looked around at the people that was standing there, I mean 350 people, and I didn't know more than two or three people in the whole place. And when I looked at them, I loved them all. I couldn't stand them, then I loved them. What happened? Peace. Hey, what did I do? I made peace with God. I kissed the Son, and he saved me from my sins. Oh, thank God. The Bible says, verse 11, serve the Lord with fear. That means you make him your master. You serve him. Why? What about pardon? Lest he be angry, verse 12, and you perish from the way. You know what the Bible says? Look with me. I want you to turn to a piece of scripture. Read it very clearly. Turn John chapter 3. I want you to see this verse. John chapter 3. You got to see it. You got to see it. Don't turn to it enough. John chapter 3. We do not turn to it enough. John chapter 3, verse 16. Oh, preacher, I know that. Look at it. Look at it real close. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Capital S. That's the same Son that we're told to kiss in Psalm 2, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what's that next word? Perish. Woo! Should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't kiss the Son, if you don't reverence and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish from the way. Psalm 2 says it. Look at it. Verse 12. Go back, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Hey, do you think you could rise up against God the Father? And when he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him? And you say, no, I'm not going to do it. You don't kiss and reverence his Son, he's going to be angry. And the Bible says you will perish from the way. Amen. New Testament verse, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Turn there with me quickly. I got to read this. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet. Whew, I'm going to get tore up. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, lest you perish from the way. Here's this wicked one-ton woman. Preacher, don't call her that. The Bible says she's a sinner. And she comes, and she begins to wash his feet with tears, and she lets down her hair that, I don't know how much y'all pay, $75, $100 for a good haircut, ladies. She let her hair down and began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. For a woman, her hair is her glory. She's laying her glory down. That woman is a picture of the bride of Christ. You and I that are sinners, we need to lay our glory down at the feet of Jesus. We need to kiss his feet. We need to worship him. Amen. Woo, boy. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him again to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Woo! There's a refuge that woman found in Jesus when she kissed his feet, when she made him her Lord, when she made him her King, when she made him her Master, when she made him her Savior. There's a refuge. Do you see it? There's a refuge in Jesus Christ. There's amnesty. There is peace in Jesus. Are y'all okay? Y'all are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Amen. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I want to do no, I might do some feet washing, but I ain't going to do no feet kissing. Honey, if Jesus was here, kiss his feet. There was a little girl. She was in a house fire in the winter. and her mama and her daddy both got killed in a fire. And she was severely burnt and severely disfigured. And they, surgery after surgery after surgery, she was soon well enough to be released from the hospital. And since she's got no mommy and she's got no daddy and she's severely disfigured, nobody really wants her. They placed her in an orphanage. And the man over the orphanage, he would always come by to hug the children. There's just something about contact, human contact. Oh, you could think dirty things if you want to, but there's just something about human contact. We need that, amen. And when he saw her, that little girl, he headed her way. This is what she said. She said, I know I'm ugly. You don't have to hug me. But he hugged her anyway, and he kissed her on the top of the head. And he did so every day. She grew to love that very kind man that was over the orphanage and the home that provided shelter to her and the others. And one day, she met a man, and they fell in love, and she was going to be married. But she had nobody to give her away. And she said to that man over the orphanage, she said, you've been a father figure to me. Would you be so kind as to walk me down the aisle and give me away to my broom? And certainly, he said, I will. And as she walked down the aisle with her groom, to meet her groom, she looked at that man, and she kissed that man from the orphanage on the cheek. And she said, I kissed the one who first kissed me. I mean, might we say to the Lord, I know I'm ugly. Sin has disfigured me. But what did he do to you? He hugged you and he kissed you anyway. And tonight, I want to take time to kiss the one who first kissed me with his love, kissed me with his tender affection, kissed me with his grace, kissed me with his forgiveness and his pardon. I kiss the one who first kissed me. You stand to your feet tonight. It might be somebody here. I was just going to stop, but the Lord said, you give them an opportunity right now. They might be somebody. If the Lord is sitting right here on the floor, sitting right here on the altar, sitting right here on these steps, there may be somebody here that you may need to humble yourself and say, you know what? I'll gladly kiss the one who first kissed me. I'll be glad to get down on my knees in reverence and extol my worship upon him because he loved me when I was unlovable. And here I come right now. One day every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hey, man, why not right now just bow yourself and say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me, and Lord, I humble myself to the point that I kiss your feet if he's right here. Lord, tonight as we bow in your presence, Lord, I want you to know you kissed me when I was ugly in sin, depraved, disfigured, dead in trespasses and in sins. But you came by and you quickened me. You put your arm around me. That arm that was crucified to the cross. That arm that was buried, Lord. That arm that arose on the first day of the week. And Father, you've kissed me with tender mercy. And you've kissed, woo, God, I God. Woo, hallelujah to Jesus Christ's name. You kissed me with your grace. I want to praise you tonight, God, for being so good to me. Lord, it's saving me. Lord, I could be tonight in hell with my back broken, but you saw fit, Father, to love me when I was unlovely, and you died in my place, and I want to praise you for refuge and for rescue and for sweet pardon. And tonight, God, I kiss the feet of the one who first kissed me. I worship you, Lord. I don't want it to be a kiss of goodbye. I want it to be a kiss of respect, of reverence, of love, and of worship. Lord, I love you tonight, and I praise you, and I thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, would now you help us, God, at Bethel. that, God, we might always be in a place where we'd be willing to humble ourselves and kiss the feet of the Son of God. Oh, Lord, tonight I worship you and I praise you and I honor you and I ask your blessing and your favor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen.